some ways that can summarize part of the lesson that we're learning from James chapter 1. So let's turn back in our scriptures and recall a little bit of what we studied last time, that this is written from the first pastor of Jerusalem to his people that are scattered abroad because of persecution. And his first command is to count it all joy. And I told you that I felt like the Lord orchestrated some things in my life to help me to understand this passage. Now, I have to say I had memorized this passage, so I knew it by heart. And there's a big difference between knowing something up here and knowing all the words and allowing that word to come deep down in my heart. And so this is a little bit of the story of my life here in terms of what happened was I played in our society's pep band for our basketball games during the late fall and early spring and things. That was kind of the, I guess it had been spring semester. So I know it was the spring semester somewhere in there. And I kept my instruments because we had a bed that was a triple decker. Nobody slept on the top of the triple bunk. So that had a lot of empty space. And so we put our extra instruments and things up there. That was the only place that I had for. So in a college dorm room, I mean, you just don't have a lot of stuff and you don't have a lot of room for stuff. And so I didn't have many places. And it was time to go to the pep band. And I went up there to look on top of that bunk. And so I had to climb up and look up there. And I realized there was nothing there. My trumpet was gone. Now, you have to understand that this was more than just a trumpet. Now, a semester for me was $3,000 my first year that I went there. I had saved roughly, and I hadn't really worked going into college and things like that. Part of the decision my parents had made and things like that. So I had only saved like $1,500. So my great-grandmother paid for that trumpet. It was $1,000 when she paid for it. So it was literally the most expensive thing that I owned. And let me just say this. I was known for losing things. So it was more than losing a trumpet. It was, how am I going to tell my dad? It was a big deal. It was a big deal in my life, and I just thought, oh, no. And I looked in the few places I could, but there was nothing there, and I had no recollection. I had played at the last game, and it had been like 3 weeks prior or something like that. Maybe it had been a little while. I know it had been, and I had no recollection. And so I went to the game. I was sick to my stomach. We came back, and I had to work that night. And I'm thinking, what do I do? I fill out a police report. It was stolen, that type thing. And I work public safety, so I work from 11 to 3 at night. I was uniform patrol. And so I went down there. And so I had some time to talk with a friend. So I was called the baker, and he was the alpha. So and so he was the main guy and everything. And I told him my trouble. And he told me James chapter 1, verse 2. He said, well, you know, it's interesting. I was learning in my class that when you come into fiery trials or here are these diverse trials, he says, count it all joy. I'll tell you this. That sounded about as alien as to my emotional state as I could possibly describe. I was nowhere close to joy. I was torn up inside. And so he explained to me what the teacher was talking about in this. So I'd like to explain to you guys what I believe this passage is talking about and then how the Lord used that in my life. And I think it just kind of all comes together. I don't know if I'll be able to finish the story tonight. I hate that, but maybe I can finish it in subsequent weeks. It's all right. You bear with me, you know. He says, you can count it all joy. The command has a reason behind it saying, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. So he says, what God's doing with the trial is he is taking the circumstances to test your faith to see whether you're going to keep on believing God. But there's an aspect that faith is bigger than that. We can simplify faith, but faith is something that we're going to talk about in terms of in verse 6 and on down here. It really encompasses a lot. But believing God incorporates obedience. Okay, that's what we're going to get to, I think, in a little bit. if not even tonight. And God is working on our faith to produce something. Now, the word patience is not exactly what we think of the word patience, how it was used in the Bible. And the word we might think of, you know, God's trying my patience to see whether, you know, I'm trying to hold it in and I'm not going to explode. That's not necessarily the Bible word for impatience, though that's incorporated in that. The idea for patience is what kind of the idea behind we get the idea of endurance. So that, what's that mean? It means that when you have faith and I'm going along and everything's great and I'm praising God and hallelujah and it's just wonderful, and then all of a sudden I hit the bumps. And all of a sudden you go, what am I going to keep doing? What am I going to do now? Life has changed. Circumstances are different. And he's testing my faith because it was easy to praise him during the good times. But now in the trial, will I continue to praise him, continue to believe him, continue to obey him, even when things are difficult? Because really, it is endurance or this idea of patience that gives something its true quality. If you say, I never, ever tell a lie unless I'm in a real pinch, and then I might, well, am I a truthful person? No. Your true qualities are actually revealed when you continue through difficulty. God's doing something with our faith and with our life and with our character, so much so that he says this amazing word in verse 4. Let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. The best reference I have to think through that verse of being perfect and entire, wanting nothing, is in Ephesians chapter 4. Where he says, till we all come in the knowledge and the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. And he goes on to define that perfect man as the fullness of Jesus Christ. You know what God's goal for our lives are? His goal is that we would be just like Jesus Christ. God has a perfect, wonderful plan for my life, and he is changing me. He is shaping me. He is molding me towards that one goal. And he's using diverse temptations to bring me to that place. But I've got to let it do its work. It's a perfecting work. It's a perfect work. And I think we can abort. How do you abort? Stop believing. Because that's what's being tested, your faith. Stop believing God. Stop obeying God. Stop praising God. Stop what you know you should be doing because of the pressure, because of the things that are happening in your life. And so there's an aspect that says you must continue to believe. And you can see this pastor's heart. He's saying, whatever you're going through, no matter, it can be diverse. I know there's lots of different situations. You're all in different situations, but God has one thing in mind, and he's using all these different things for his one good goal and purpose. And if you know that, you can count it all joy. You can come to a real place in your life where, I mean, your emotions aren't feeling very joyful, but you know it's good. You know that God is in control of my life and he's doing what he's doing for a good purpose, and his plan is to get me to the very destination that I so desperately want to be at. I mean, have you prayed desperately for things? Desperately. I mean, you're crying out to God for God to do a work. And then God sends a trial. And it's in within the trial that God is answering the very prayer that we prayed. But we don't see it that way. If we could see it that way in terms of if it was obvious to us, it wouldn't have to walk by faith. But it's testing our faith. And so when we come to this aspect, I was just confronted with this reality was I going to obey? Was I going to obey this command and count it all joy when I've lost something and I'm going to have all the hassle and the trouble and the pain and the heartache that was in my life? The question really was, did I want to be perfect and entire, wanting nothing? Did I really want to be Christ-like? Or did I really want my trumpet back? Both, please, Lord. But He knew what was needed to move me, to get me to the place where I would be Christ-like. And that's what God is doing in every trial. I really do believe that all of these verses are connected, one after another. It's not just one proverb after another. Sometimes you hear that in terms of James, and he's very practical, like Proverbs. But he's going to talk about this verse right here. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And so that's what I went off. I heard the word and admonition, and I came out there saying, God, I do not know. I want to obey. I want to count it all joy. I think it really does mean that when I come to the true reality of these promises and this word, that I will not be faking it. It will be something welling up within me that is truly an experience of joy. But I don't have it. And you know what I lacked? I lacked wisdom. We're going to talk about what that wisdom means in a very practical sense of doing the very next right thing before God. Calling out to Him and begging Him to lead you one step at a time through your trial. We're going to find out what kind of God He is and what He promises. And then we're going to see what the requirement is from us to receive His answer. Because He doesn't give just to anyone, but to a certain kind of person, a certain kind of heart that we have to have in the trial. And He's going to describe the different responses that you and I can have. You and I can be a brother of low degree, or we can be a rich man when we come to the trials. And I think it's all going to come, and it all comes full circle when he says in verse 12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Endureth there is the same word patience down in verse 3. Temptation, same word as verse 2. And he gives this aspect of what the Lord is going to do for you if you'll come out the other side and you'll keep on believing. And all this, Pat, is all coming together, and I'm just excited. But I am out of time, so I'll be quiet. And so I'm sending you off with this admonition. If you lack wisdom, you're not sure how to do this, I know that God can show you, because it's exactly what He did in my life. I just went off and drove around for hours saying, Lord, how do I do this? And He can show you how to count it all joy in the midst of your trials. So we'll pick that up next time. So,